Heavenly Father, oh, what a wonderful text. What wonderful imagery. And yet, what an awful reality that evil really is around us and pursuing us. And we need to learn how to be dressed for battle so that after everything, we can stand, we can hold our ground. God, without you, we could not do anything. But Lord God, with you, and like the song we just sang, if God is with us, then who can stand against? So praise be to you, God, for your power, your might, but also your tender, loving watchfulness over us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Phenomenal text. We'll see if I can tackle this in a reasonable amount of time. But basically, it's all about spiritual warfare and the resources that God gives us in the midst of these battles that really are daily battles. And the first thing that I would want to point out is, you know, and when Paul talks about, you know, the day of evil, this is not some future time. This isn't end time stuff and, you know, some evil encounter. Klein Snodgrass, wonderful theologian that wrote a great commentary on Ephesians, he said the meaning is any time evil is encountered. And hey, nobody is exempt here. Nobody can dodge this draft. We're all going to war. Actually, we're all in it. In fact, a wonderful book on spiritual warfare written by John White called The Fight. It's many years old. It's a classic. And in the introduction, as he is talking, I just lost my place. Where it is? Okay. He says, as far as a foe of legions, he said, you know, if you've established a new relationship with the Lord, guess what? You've also established a new relationship with the powers of darkness. Whatever you were before you became a Christian, he says, whatever you were, you are now the sworn foe of the legions of hell. Have no delusions about their reality or their hostility, but, this is good news, do not fear them, he says. The God inside you terrifies them. They cannot touch you, let alone hurt you, but they can still seduce, and they will try. So it is a battle that we all are involved in. And so this day of evil, it is any time evil is encountered. And here's the thing, that one of the principal foundational factors is, do not ever try and stand in your own power and in your own authority. I could try and stand there against the devil and go, I have a Master of Divinity degree. I've studied theology. I'm an ordained minister. Look at me. And you know what my image would look like to him? Like little Gracie Fowler with a water pistol. Come on, take me on. You know, that would be about as intimidating as any of us could be, standing in our own strength, our own power. I mean, the devil is just that much stronger than any of us ever could imagine or think of. And yet, magnify his strength by a gazillion times, and that is God. And so, I would never, nor would any, you know, if it, not me, what if it was some bad guy who now is trying to come against little Gracie, all right? I don't know if you know little Gracie, cute little about four years old, is it? Fowler's daughter? All right, Fowlers aren't here right now, but, you know, I mean, if a bad guy's coming against her, she'd be nothing unless her daddy was standing right behind her, right? Scott's a pretty good, big-sized guy. Now, you know, even imagine, I mean, it's not just a human dad, it is our God the Father Almighty standing behind that child. No bad guy would even come near her. Nor will the bad guys be able to do anything against us if we keep God right there and we don't stand in our strength and our power, we stand in God's power. And so it's very important that in Ephesians, let's see, it's 10, 6 verse 10, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It is not our power. So that's a huge principle that in doing spiritual warfare, in the battles against evil, that we have to understand. And then I put as point C under section 2, victors will receive heavenly rewards. And so, I mean, the stakes are really high, you know, and some of the battles, I mean, we just, some of them we do get knocked down, and we do, and God is there to bring us back up. But, you know, in all this spiritual warfare, I mean, the risks can be very great. And if we're just completely stupid about it, and I use that word, I mean it, stupid, it would be like I was trying to tell the kids, you know, if you're living in a rough neighborhood, do you leave the garage door open at night, keys in the car, bicycles and everything out? That would be stupid. And yet so many of us, we're not protecting our hearts. We are not. We're doing stupid things that just leave us wide open to attack. So, you know, when it comes to the spiritual warfare, I said nobody gets out of it. Now, we can mitigate, we can minimize the influence evil can have on us by just keeping our hearts protected and getting dressed for battle. And so what's going to follow is about getting dressed for battle so that, you know, we can keep ourselves protected and minimize greatly the any power that evil would have over us. I would say this too, though. I mean, one, there's a lot of us who we are not doing a good enough job, and evil has been wreaking havoc, and the effects are obvious. And so, I mean, his MO, and Jesus put it right there in John 10, the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, and he's been doing a horrific job, and especially those in the church, of killing and stealing and destroying these days. And so, I mean, if some of us would admit it, there are destructive patterns that we've allowed to develop. Now, some people, we're just going to have to be geared up, dressed for battle, and I mean, put on the full armor, because we have chosen to put ourselves in the forefront. There's a great quote that Steve Camp cites in one of his songs. Some people want to live within the sound of chapel bells. I want to run me a mission a yard from the gates of hell. Oh, I love it, and I think God smiles down on that kind of a, let's go, you know? That's a missionary spirit and fervor. You want to build a mission a yard from the gates of hell, you better dress for battle. You better be ready. All right, so let's talk about this, dress for battle. And this is metaphorical too. I mean, you do got to understand this, that Paul is giving us great imagery, but, you know, in general, the weapons are just the resources God has given us. I mean, it is truth and salvation and righteousness and peace and, you know, these kind of things. So, but I love the imagery here, and he starts with the belt of truth, all right? And truth, I mean, you think of the belt, it really, especially when it comes to military garb and gear, it holds a lot of it together, right? Truth is essential, and it holds a lot of the other weapons together. I mean, faith, for example. Everybody has faith in something. Is your faith based in truth? It's a whole other matter. I remember having a conversation with a waitress one time, George's restaurant near North Park College, and this waitress, she was a little bit of a trip, all right? And so she was trying to tell me, you know, that because she believes something, it is true. And I can't remember how the whole conversation went, but I at one point I went, okay, I pointed to the 10-story Carlson Towers. I said, so what you're saying is you could climb to the Carlson Towers and jump off, and because you believe it, you would land on your feet. And she goes, yes. If your faith is not based in truth, oh, it can be outright dangerous. See what I mean? So it has to be truth. If your righteousness is based on truth, if it's Christ's righteousness, that's truth. If it's your own self-righteousness, that is not. All right? You following me? But some of us, we just don't really know enough about truth. I was talking to a buddy in ministry just the other day, and he was telling me that somebody, this guy approached him, successful businessman, not a new Christian, he said. I've been in the church a while, well, thankfully, wasn't a leader in the church, approached my buddy, and he said, you know, help me out here. I want to know, how do you discern God's will? I'm thinking of having an affair, And, you know, I've never done this before, but, you know, and we're both willing parties. And thankfully, I mean, my buddy kept his composure, you know, and tried to be sincere and everything and honest and answering them him biblically and everything. But my friend said, I got to say this, though, even after talking to the guy, the verdict is still out. I don't know which way he's going to go. You know, in this case, it is a belt of truth. If this guy goes with the truth, it's literally going to keep his pants up. And let's pray to God, and I mean it, let's pray to God he does, okay? We can't just then know the truth, and we do. We got to know the truth. How do you know the truth? We got to be people of the Word. We got to know the Bible. We got to read the Bible. We got to meditate on the Word, and then have a resolve to live it. Don't merely listen to the Word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, James. The Apostle James says, we have to have the resolve to live truth. Truth is essential in this warfare. Otherwise, can you imagine if this guy, despite having heard the truth, goes on and doesn't do the truth? Talk about a door wide open to his heart and the destruction, not only for him, I don't know, and for his wife, but I don't know if there's kids involved. It could be horrific. All right, the breastplate of righteousness. Again, what I was saying is it has to be his righteousness. Y'all know the song, My Hope is Built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yeah. What does it say, the last line? When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless to stand before the throne, dressed in his righteousness, Christ's rightness, his righteousness. Because perish the thought, I would try and come before the throne of God dressed in my righteousness. Here I am, God. Hey, remember me, Pastor Steve? Huh? Served you 40 years in the ministry? Bring the welcome on, huh? Yeah. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, many people are going to come to me on that day, the judgment day. And the Son of Man will be sitting on his throne, and they're going to say, hey, I did miracles in your name. Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I preached in your name. And he said, I'm going to tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoer. You come before God dressed in your righteousness. That is the worst mistake. And here's the deal. It's not so much even the people outside of the church that are guilty of this one, that are in this kind of danger zone. It's more often than not the people inside the church. We do not stand by our righteousness. That is pride, that is arrogance, and it's evil, dressed in his righteousness alone. So it's a breastplate of his righteousness, and dear God, let us not be dressed in unrighteousness. I mean, you know, you think of battle gear, dressed in his righteousness, it's like a Kevlar vest, bulletproof, you know? I mean, boom, it just bullets, arrows deflect off, right? All right? Well, I just didn't think it was very attractive. And so here, what I have is this nice cotton and polyester blend. And see, the other one was just kind of square and rectangular. This one, it kind of accentuates my figure. I mean, yeah, you laugh at the thought. And yet, the thing that I'm just terrified about is so many people are putting aside, you know, the Christ righteousness, taking on the unrighteousness, the acts of unrighteousness. You know, this guy thinking about adultery, putting on unrighteousness. Guys, pornography, you put that on, you dress yourself, you know, I shouldn't say just guys, women too, you know. What are the things out there? Are you dressed in righteousness? That's your Kevlar vest. Be careful. Be careful. Because, yes, I don't care how attractive that unrighteousness can be. And that's the deal. It's like the old Billy Joel song, you know? What was that? Wrote it down here. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners have much more fun. Yeah, he sang about that. Better to be dressed in unrighteousness. Looks better. Wow. Careful. Careful how you dressed. Feet fitted with a readiness, a result of the gospel of peace. Here's the thing that, I mean, I've read this text I don't know how many times. And I've always focused on, you know, I thought it was feet shod with peace. It's not. It's feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, when I was little and I was playing basketball, and I was little, okay? In fact, I was Pee Wee. I think I've told many of you before, all right? So I was the littlest guy out there. But man, nobody gave more of an effort out there. And so one time the coach told us ahead of the game, and he goes, man, they got this player on their team, you know, number 10, and this guy is really good. He's a point guard. He goes, Pee-wee, I'm putting you on him. You were going to stick to him like glue. All right. So I was just, I mean, I was ready. And literally every time this kid dribbled down, I'm serious. This is what I did. I'd confront him, and I'd be like, I literally was just shaking my feet like this. But my feet were so ready. And when that guy made his cut, when he made his move, a number of times, boom, my hand, I was ready. My hand shot out, knocked the ball out, and I went down for a layup. I was ready, baby. I was ready for this guy, you know. And he was so frustrated. And anyway, that was one of those games that you look back on and go, yeah. You know, so many sports, isn't it true? Foot position. I don't care what the sport is, right? Volleyball, basketball, football. Wouldn't you just love John coming to line and watching the opposing team standing or sitting back on their heels? What are you going to do to that guy? You're going to crush him. Wrestling, foot position, right? And what about martial arts? Foot position, especially when it comes to sports where you're doing fighting. Those kind of things. Foot position is so important. And all right, how does this relate, and especially the gospel of peace? When we've got the gospel of peace in us, we have to have that foot positioning ready to share. And so Paul says in another point, he says it to Timothy, always be prepared in season and out of season to preach the word. Be prepared. And then Peter says, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you have in Jesus Christ. So when you're boarding the plane, you're just praying, okay, God, I tell you what, you put somebody right there and let me share the gospel with them. I mean, give me an open door. It's somehow in the conversation, please, God, you know. So, you know, when you go maybe to a restaurant, it's kind of like, hey, this waitress, I mean, maybe there can be something, you know, you've got this readiness. Your feet are just fitted with readiness to share that gospel of peace. This is the way we need to be, because this is all about hostage rescue. We're soldiers, right? Dressed for battle. But it's hostage rescue. There are all kinds of people who are hostage to the devil, literally. And if God doesn't intervene and he wants to use us to intervene, these people are literally going to hell in a handbasket, and they are just held in hostage. And so it's hostage rescue here, and our feet have got to be ready. We got to be ready to share. That's what this is talking about, sharing that wonderful gospel of peace that's brought peace to us, and we want to bring peace to other people. Is that your posture? Is that your position? Are you dressed for battle, especially for a tactical hostage rescue? The shield of faith, all right? And there's, man, got some scary stuff to share here, but faith is all about our beliefs. It's what we believe, all right? Now, we got to have some strong beliefs based, steeped in truth. And if we do, not only is it like a shield that to defend ourselves, as Paul says, from the flaming arrows of the evil one. So, I mean, and man, all these flaming arrows, they are all around us. George Barna. This is the statistician, famous guy that does all kinds of surveys. And I mean, these are real legitimate surveys. You know, some surveys are very questionable. Barna, I mean, the highest integrity. They came out, the Barna Research Group, with some horrific studies just recently, somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 churches close each year. 3,500 to 4,000 churches in America close down each year. The numbers are dive bombing. I find this hard to even believe. 2,765,000, roughly, people a year are leaving the church, lost to nominalism and secularism. Almost 3 million people. You know these flaming arrows? Without the shield of faith, people are dropping like flies. And here's a scary one. Please pray for me, your pastor. 1,400 pastors are leaving the ministry. Not every year, every month. 1,400 pastors in America are leaving the ministry. Please pray for me. I mean, my colleagues are dropping like flies. And I really think a lot of this is we do not have the shield of faith. Our belief system is not steeped in truth. And so these arrows are coming. We can't even deflect. We can't even block. And boom, they're pegging us. Boom, they're pegging us. Boom. And down we go. So we have got to establish our faith. We have got to have a solid, solid faith and be bold and be strong. And we have to stand. We cannot allow ourselves to fall back. We've got to hold our ground. Should have mentioned that verse before, way up in 2C, where God says, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. That's God talking. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. No. Fighter stance, dress for battle. We will stand strong. That has to be our mindset. And we have to grow in truth. We have to grow in faith. This is not something that you attain a certain level. I'm a corporal now. I've made it. Oh, you got so much more to learn, you know? Then we take on the helmet of salvation. Here's the deal, too. Have you ever met somebody who ever believed and thought that they lost their salvation? They are just terrified. I've known people like that, where sin, whatever, and they literally thought they lost their salvation and it was like losing their mind. They thought they had committed some unpardonable sin that God would not, could not forgive them, and they were just terrified. Salvation is like a helmet. I mean, and that assurance, I mean, do you know that you are saved? No, I mean, really, do you know if you die today? I mean, you've heard probably a lot of you. Do you know if you die today, would you go to heaven? Do you have that strong assurance based on truth? But I mean, steeped in the Word, I know it. I can cite you. This is where it's found in Scripture. This is where, this is why I go to heaven. Because if you don't have that assurance, oh man, the lack of protection, you're just not dressed for the battle that, and the battle, I gotta say, is just raging. I mean, in the 25 years I've been in ministry, I don't know if I should use the word scared. I'm frightened. I'm frightened for the church here in America. I really am. The battle has been heating up, and it's raging, and it is getting bad and ugly. And sadly, I think a lot of us, it's like we got our head buried in the sand. We're not only not dressed like we should be for battle, our feet are not even, we're just checking out, and we're dropping like flies. And the sword of the Spirit. You know what? Honestly, some of us have swords, some of us have daggers, some of us have pocket knives, and I fear some of us have little plastic knives. And that's all we got. Because our knowledge of Scripture is so faulty, so lacking. What kind of weapon do you have in your hand? When we're talking about your knowledge of Scripture, if the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, what kind of weapon are you wielding these days? Evil comes around and you pull out that little plastic knife from Wendy's. Really? Or do you have just this big, long broadsword? Do you have this ninja sword? And you're like a 10th degree black belt, baby. That's what we ought to want to attain to. Oh, dear God, please. May I be so steeped in the Word, knowing it, understanding it, having meditated upon it. It's in me. And I mean, something happens, I can counter, and boom, it just pops out of me and there. I defend myself with the Word of God. Are you dressed for battle? What's your sword look like? Prayer, a powerful force. Oh, I love that verse in James. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. You know who the enemy typically looks for? Who to take out first in a battle? Who do you think they look to take out first? We got some military, ex-military guys here, right? Okay, who do they want to take out first? Tell me. Leaders, actually. Go ahead. Did you say? You were on a boat. All right. The communications guy. The radio man. Because if they can no longer radio back and communicate to headquarters back there, they're in deep trouble. But if you can radio back, hey, they got us nailed down here. Here's our coordinates. We need an airstrike right now. You need to zero in on da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, shaboom! You're doing all right. You're doing all right. Prayer is our communication to HQ. Prayer is where we get all the heavenly resources made available to us, accessible to us, so that in the midst of the battle, and especially when you feel the heat, when you feel it coming on and the pressure, boom, I mean, you just get on your knees and start praying, and you got the resources, and that is God's promise. I mean, the promises Jesus makes are pretty amazing. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, he told his disciples. Ask, and it will be given to you, and your joy will be made complete. Ask for anything you need, Jesus says. And that's the dude that has amazing power. Prayer is a powerful force. And then finally, after all this description of everything, Paul gives this, you know, piggybacking off the whole prayer. And he says, and pray for me that I may declare the gospel fearlessly. May that be our prayer too. Fearlessly. God is not pleased when we shrink back. And in fact, he hates cowardice. In the list of people that won't make it into heaven, I think it's Revelation 20 or 21, cowardice and the cowardly are not only on the list, they're first on the list. And Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me and my words here on earth, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for all who believe. May we declare our faith, declare the gospel fearlessly. May we pray. And if that makes you nervous, it's sharing your story. It's just sharing your story. It's not all you got. It's a wonderful story. Well, but God never did anything, you know, dramatic, and I don't have one of those great testimonies about being saved from drugs and all that. You know, that is the most phenomenal testimony to have. That's the testimony I pray that my kids have. That when they grow up, they go, I can't even remember a time I didn't feel God's presence in my life. I've always had God here, and at a young age, I gave my life to Christ, and never regretted it, and I've kept growing. I pray to God my daughters never and son never have that experience. Well, God had to pull me from a gutter, and you know, I was... That's the best testimony, isn't it? Just share your story. Feet fitted, ready, ready to share, fearlessly. And they may mock us. Many of them will. But I just got God's strength inside of me. And I'm just, it's Him. It's Him inside of me. Are you dressed for battle? Are you dressed for battle? If you feel like, as we've analyzed this, you are not, I just urge you to pray. Give it to the Lord and tell Him, honestly, God, I just got a pocket knife here. Please give me a sword. Honestly, God, I don't think this is made of Kevlar. This breastplate of righteousness. Please, God. I mean, just give it to God in prayer. And then step into His strength and allow Him to take over and dress you. And He will. He will always be faithful to those who ask sincerely. In Jesus' name, amen.